Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to violence.
Welcome to Lost in the Static.
So I wonder if anybody heard our little pre-show ramblings there, because I left the mics up during the intro.
Aren't you the audio engineer?
Yes, I am.
And you are also the phone person, apparently.
I am. I have no doubt that that's our fair senator of our state wanting to give us a nice little town hall meeting thing.
Is it an automated?
Who knows? Yeah.
All right. Well, let's do the Adam and Eve promo.
Sure, go right ahead.
Now, last week you said I did it too fast, so
yes.
I'll do it slower this week. Go to...
I am going to kick you in the penis.
Go to adamandeve.com. Use the promo code STATIC to get 50% off of a single item. And they'll also throw in 3 free DVDs, a free mystery gift, and in the U.S. they'll even cover shipping. So go to adamandeve.com, use the promo code STATIC, and it'll stop Scott from kicking me in the penis.
Well, but we want our fans to actually go, and if you know, stopping me from kicking you in the penis is actually motivation for them not to. So I'll tell you what: if you go and we use the code enough, and we make,
if we can make $7,000 in a single month,
no, I'll tell you what: if my half of the money ends up being over $1,000, I will kick you in the penis
for a single month.
For a single month.
Well, all right, that's a challenge.
I mean, that's,
for the listeners, maybe.
And that's doable.
I get to wear a cup, though.
No.
Yes, because you didn't specify the rules beforehand. I get to wear a cup.
Okay, but I get to choose the cup.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Because it's going to be something like a solo cup.
I don't know what that is.
The little plastic cup you put drinks in, you can put that on your penis, and then I'll kick it.
Now, if you can't kind of tell, we don't really have a topic tonight. Nope. It's just going to be a bunch of what I'm calling short takes, just little random things that piss us off. I recently did a Sanity is Razor Thin on this, which we're going to be using as the baseline because I want Scott's opinion on some of these things.
Okay.
But we're also going to ask you for some of your things that are not on this list.
Okay.
Okay, the first one I put on there is animated DVD menus.
Okay.
Yes, no, are you pro, con?
You explained it to me that they take up way too much space.
40 to 60% in a lot of cases.
And okay, some of them are kind of cute. The only thing that really annoys me about animated DVD menus is when my little nephew absolutely loves Thomas the Tank Engine.
Okay.
And so if you can either watch the Thomas the Tank Engine movie, or you can leave the DVD in the player, and if you take it out, he throws a big hissy fit. Now, when his mom's not around, I put an end to that hissy fit. But when mom's around, it's easier for him to just leave the DVD in. So we hear that same menu over and over and over and over again.
Well, I was going to get to that kind of thing, but I first wanted to tell the audience, yes, 40 to 60% of a DVD... nowadays, if it's got an animated menus, they are what's taking up all the space. Analyze one on your computer sometime and you go, why? What is wrong with a simple text menu with a picture behind it that says, this is what you are clicking on, this is what it does? I don't understand why that is so hard. I mean, you see DVD reviews all the time that go, oh, and the menus were barely even animated. Why bother? Because it's one of those big fucking deal things.
I don't know. I mean, if it's something people like, then so be it.
But keep in mind, you're also paying for those menus.
Yeah.
A lot of 2-disc collector sets, if they just had static menus that told you what you were clicking on and weren't all animated, yeah, taking up 40% of the disc, it'd be a single disc and half the price.
Me.
So it's all for a marketing point is what it is.
But again, we're right back to the market. If you're willing to pay the price, then pay the price.
Well, and then there's also, like you brought up, the whole it plays the theme song or whatnot.
Over and over and over, yes.
What's worse is when they have either a scene or audio from a plot twist in the movie,
yeah,
on the menu.
That is annoying.
Now, I'll call a spoiler warning for this, but The Fog, the original 1980 John Carpenter movie.
Okay, now wait. When it comes to our spoiler warnings, our cap... is 5 years. So if it's been past 5 years, we're not giving you a spoiler warning. So 1980, okay. I don't think that qualifies. If you haven't seen it by now, deal.
Okay. Well, the twist ending at the movie is when the leper pirates that are in the fog
right.
come in, and then Hal Holbrook has this giant glowing cross, and they end up killing him to take back their revenge. So what is the main menu?
Exactly.
That scene yeah. playing over it, and you go, wow, if I just bought this movie and didn't know what happened, thanks, guys. Thanks for that. You know, it's I don't understand that. Or if when you first pop in the DVD, the opening scene of the movie plays before the menu starts, and you go, now I'm when I click play on the movie, that's going to play again. Thank you so much. At least it got a little bit better. You remember in the late 90s, forced trailers?
Oh, God,
yeah. The unskippable forced yes. trailers?
Yes.
And you go, okay, I kind of see what they were going for, like you brought up marketing.
Oh.
But now, go pop in the original DVD release of The Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
And sit through 6 minutes of trailers you can't yep. skip for movies that are now over a decade old.
Yep.
Dick move, companies. Yes. Yes. Dick move.
Yes.
Which I don't know if the Xbox or the... PS3 can do this, but those trailers were all skippable on a PS2.
I know.
So I just thought that was interesting.
But yeah, the unskippable anything annoys me. Cutscenes in a video game. I love playing that through that video game for the first time. I love those cutscenes. They're because
they're part of the story.
They're enjoyable. They're part of the story. They're great. Sometimes I just want to shoot things. And I have to sit through Metal Gear Solid 2.
Yeah, it's got the whole, when you're trying to defuse the bomb with the coolant, you yes. have to sit through that instructional thing. The entire, like, 4 minutes of instructions on how to use the coolant and how to find the bombs. And it's going, oh, my God, I don't care.
And what's even worse is if you reload from the beginning of that level. So let's say you go, you fail, you reload from the beginning of that level, you have to sit through that thing again and again and again.
Well, I wouldn't even say unskippable cutscenes. I'll also throw in there ungodly long cutscenes. And yes, I'm looking at you, Metal Gear series. When the cutscenes can go 18 to 20 minutes before you get to touch your character again, too much story is happening.
True.
You know? I'm playing a video game. I am not watching a movie that I occasionally get to move the character around for.
Yes.
That's ridiculous.
That's why I think Half-Life 2 did it right. Cutscenes were built right into the game engine. You never lost control of Gordon Freeman.
Mass Effect, the cutscenes, you know, you got your little dialogue trees, so you were still involved.
You were still involved
in the cutscenes.
Right.
So, yeah, I'll throw cutscenes in there.
Okay.
Well, next thing would be, and I don't know how you feel on this, but annotations on YouTube videos.
I think that annotations, like alcohol and many other things, are good in moderation. In moderation. I have attempted to watch a YouTube video, and the annotations on there were so many that they covered up the entire video.
Mm-hmm. And most of them are self-congratulatory. View my videos. Subscribe to me. More videos here. Click here for more videos. It's all this, look at me.
Now, the place where I do like them is many people who make their living doing YouTube stuff. They'll do the episode of whatever, and then at the end, they'll maybe have last week's episode and a subscribe box.
But maybe, that's not an annotation, though.
Maybe another happy episode. And it's technically an annotation because it's a clickable place that you go, and that's done through annotations, but it's built into the video. The ones I don't like is the subscribe to me things. You know what? The subscribe button is right above the video.
If I give a shit, I'll do it.
Yeah, if I give a shit, I will do it. And I've done it to plenty of YouTube channels. The other, you know... But when you start watching, let's say Bob, whoever Bob is, Bob comes out with his own little music video. And it's something along the lines of the video game guy that you like that I can't stand. What's his name?
Keith Apicary.
Yeah, Keith Apicary. It's something along those lines, and it's funny and it's really good. But you start watching, And 3 seconds into the video, you get a big annotation box that says, click here to subscribe. And then it stays up there. And you also get one that says, buy the MP3 here. And then you get one that says, check out my next video here. And then you get one that says, you know, I was thinking about frogs when I made this, and it pops up. And eventually the whole damn thing is covered with annotations.
Mm-hmm.
That annoys me.
See, to me, I don't mind the annotations if I had a choice, the initial choice. If I want to see your stupid shit, how about I click the box? Not when I click the video, it's all met already there. So, I know it's a minor little step, but I should not have to click off your bullshit.
So you're looking for an opt-in option,
yes,
instead of an opt-out.
Instead of, because the way I am now, and I've done this, and Alex knows this for trailer parks, where if you've got the annotations up there right away, as soon as I click on the video, I click off of it. I'm not watching your goddamn video. You self-indulgent motherfuckers. I won't watch it.
That, you know, right below the video, it always gives you that space for notes.
Mm-hmm.
And I always look down there, especially if it's an artist that I've never heard of, and I look here and it says, click here to buy MP3s, and there's a little link down there. Great place for it. Love it.
Not on the video.
If you pop up a big annotation box that says, click here to buy my MP3s because they're great and you're going to love them and adore them and these are great and wonderful and you're covering half the fucking screen.
That's getting mad.
Yeah. Just annotations are supposed to be just that. Little teeny tiny notes that say, and here's a little bit of information.
Well, and then you also have the pseudo Mystery Science Theater jerk-offs that think they're Mike or Joel that use the annotations to try and be smartasses over a movie trailer and make little snide comments. And you go, I have not run into one yet that's even been remotely funny.
Right.
It's like, wow, you guys so want to be Mike or Joel. You're not.
Yeah.
And so it's like, just stop. Just stop.
Yeah.
You're not funny.
So there's my thought on annotations. So we half agree on that one.
Okay, and then there's we talked a little bit last week about the editors that think they're way more clever than they are. You know, the whole I'm going to take actual clips from movies and mash them together to make a movie trailer that for a movie that doesn't exist. No, you're a pretentious cocksucker.
Some of them are neat. Some of them are well done. And you even mentioned one, the Terminator versus
RoboCop.
Well done. Good on you. If it's a cut and paste thing and there's no flow and there's no, again, that artist's touch, there's no artist touch there, then meh. And what constitutes that artist's touch is kind of subjective. So
right. Well, but then there's the other issue, and I know why this happens, okay? And I know there's a legal reason why this happens. But you remember our editor friend from Channel 26, Eben?
Yes.
You've seen the John Carpenter movie They Live, correct?
I have.
Great movie, right?
Yes.
Remember the like 7-minute long fight in the alley that just keeps going and going and going?
It's been a while since I've seen the movie, but it comes to mind.
Okay,
yes.
Well, I wanted to show him that at work one day because he'd never seen the movie. So I went to YouTube. You can find anything on YouTube, right?
Usually.
Not really. I can find the South Park parody. I can find that thing auto-tuned. I can find that fight edited to a music video, not the actual fucking clip. So I finally find one. You know what it is? Guy using a camcorder to shoot it off of his fucking television.
Now
you lazy sons of bitches.
Well, the legal reason for that is because if you're recording something that happens to be on your TV.
Yeah, it's all DCMA bullshit.
Yeah, it's all DCMA stuff. So I can kind of understand that one.
But that's really annoying when you try to find a Simpsons clip and it shot off somebody's TV with their dog barking in the background and the wife doing dishes off to the side of the fucking speaker. You go, just don't. Just don't even put it up then. You know? Go fuck yourself.
But I can kind of understand. I can kind of understand.
But these are things that bug us.
I think
us.
It's bullshit, but I agree.
All right, and then we've already talked about the fake trailers. And then there are the... Scott, you ever been gullible enough to do one of the go-hears?
Go-hears.
On YouTube, they have it all the time. You know, Mission Impossible 4 just comes out on Blu-ray. Mission Impossible 4, go here for the full movie! The video is only 45 seconds long, and it directs you to another website. They're all over YouTube. You look for any popular movie, there's a go-here site for it.
Oh, geez.
I'm sorry, if you're dumb enough to fall for that, you deserve the viruses you get. That's the way I look at it.
That I see, and I've dealt with internet spam since I came online. You know, I've dealt with internet spam since 1990.
The way I look at it, though, and you're smarter than me in this regard, they have to be getting enough people that are clicking on it to make it worth their while, don't they? Isn't that kind of a sad thought, really?
And just like those, you know, those free Viagra ads that you get in your email and stuff like that, those have to be working or they wouldn't be happening.
I don't know. Makes me sad. You know, spam was one of the things on there. Internet comments. I can't stand. First.
Well, that's just stupid fuckery, and that's. I mean,
the way I put it is, if you don't have anything to say, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, but you know, by some accounts, if we went by that thoroughly, we wouldn't have a radio show.
True, but then I also add the very nice quote. It is better to remain silent and be thought a fool than open one's mouth and remove all doubt.
Agreed.
So, you know, all you first motherfuckers, I'm going to fucking kill you. I hate you all.
I just look at it and I go, yeah, you're first to come very, you know, woo.
If you were the first to actually make a real comment, that's different. But most of the comments are literally just first and you have other people going second.
And to me, I look at it and I go, ha, 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 that would have been funny if, you know, but no, you're just idiots. I'm not going to the, I'm going to kill you route or anything like that.
Yeah.
Because God knows, you know, maybe this episode is going to air and it will end up with a little jackalope forum on it or something. And the next thing you know, we're going to have people in that forum just going, firsties.
Well, and, I already know what people are going to do. They're going to take this episode. They're going to put it on YouTube. They're going to put annotations all over it. And they're going to go first in the comments. You know, our smart ass fans will do that.
You realize I would probably be one of the people that would comment first, but I would make sure that there were like 40 or 50 comments there already.
Right, smart ass. Now, this next one is a little more, it's not serious, but it's not like, hey, stupid internet culture thing. I really don't know where you're going to fall on this one.
Okay, fire away.
There was recently a slew of cases, a lot in New York City. I don't know if these were choreographed like this or not, where people were losing out on service industry jobs, being waiters, things like that, you know, being clerks behind a counter, because they were losing on the jobs because they had too many tattoos and too many facial piercings. And I'm going, you made your life choice to look like a freak, to have double sleeve tats and to have 19 different rings in your face, nose, eyes, lips, and all and in your ears and whatnot. You made your life choice to look like a freak. Is it their fault that nobody wants to hire you? Because I can tell you personally, when my waitress looks like an escapee from the Road Warrior, that does not make me want to repatronize that business.
I have, okay, I'm going to take this bit by bit, but tattoos. There is a somewhat well-known acronym, well, it's not really an acronym, initialization within the industry called ILIs.
Okay.
ILIs.
All right.
Income Limiting Inc. Anything, say, from just a couple inches above the wrist and below onto the hand, Income Limiting Inc. Anything on the face, neck, back of the head, anything that really...
That can't be covered by a shirt. That
can't be conveniently covered by a long sleeve shirt. Income Limiting Inc.
Our friend Hank recently got in trouble. He's got a tattoo on his shoulder, covered by a shirt.
Sure.
His shirt was too thin, so you could see the tattoo through the shirt.
Right.
And they were like, no, you have to... They made him put like a giant Band-Aid over it so you couldn't see it through the shirt. And I'm going, okay, that's going a little too far.
No.
He's got it in a place where it's easily covered. He just happened to be wearing a white shirt that day, and you could see it through.
Okay.
That, to me, was a little ridiculous. But when you've got the double sleeve tats, and you've got a tattoo on your forehead, and you're going, they won't hire me at Denny's to be a waiter. It's just discrimination against tattooed people.
Yes, it is.
That is what they're claiming, is it's discrimination, and they should be offered that job. And I'm going, no, because if you get hired at that Denny's, I don't want you waiting on me. Yeah. You are limiting that business then.
And to me, it comes down to company policy. You know company policy. For instance, our friend Jason.
Jason Oblivion.
He's getting full sleeve tattoos. You know what he did? He did a smart thing. He went to his boss. He said, hey, what's company policy on ink? Is it okay if I do this? And they said, well, their company policy states that it's not a problem because of the particular industry he works in. It's not a big deal. But he went and he asked. If I go to a job interview and I've got facial tattoos and tattoos all over my hands and stuff like that, and it's a law firm, then,
you're not going to get hired.
You're not going to get hired. And to me, I got in trouble for this at Radio Shack all the time because I had a couple of employees that one had the little bit of skin in between his nostrils. He had that pierced and he had a nose ring.
I call that the bull because, it looks like a bull ring.
Yeah, well, that's what he had. He had a ring like that. He had a labret piercing right in the middle of his chin and stuff like that. And he would come to work and he would be in the Radio Shack uniform, which at the time were khaki pants and a nice button-down shirt that's branded with Radio Shack.
Right.
And he would have all this shit in his face and I'd make him take it out. I said, I don't care if you have to have, clear spacers in there to keep your holes in your face, but you're taking that out and you're looking like a professional.
A friend of mine used to work at Pizza Hut. That was the same thing. All of a sudden, the waitresses would come in with Band-Aids all over because they couldn't take it out, so they had to cover them with Band-Aids, and it looked like she'd been in a fight with a Wolverine.
Yeah, and to me...
That's not especially in the food industry. Yeah. That's not appetizing.
Yeah, no. And the other... Well, for one, this was at the place that I work right now. A big stink was raised because since religion comes into play and my workplace can't discriminate against religion,
right.
Native Americans, some of the tribes, are allowed to have long hair on the men, which for the rest of the company is a no-no. But because it's religious reasons...
To me, that's religious discrimination right there.
Thanks to the federal government, there's nothing we can do about it. So if you're Native American or you follow a Native American path and you keep it nicely braided and nicely kept, you're allowed to have long hair. If you're not, guess what?
See, I actually...
But that is in... What I'm saying is policies like that are in the company handbook. And if you go in for a job interview, they're explained to you at that job interview. And so if you suddenly, you work there for 6 months and then you come in and you have something that blatantly violates their policy and then you go, discrimination. No, you freaking knew. You signed the terms of service.
Well, see, I had something similar when I worked at the movie theater back in like 2000 where, I've got long hair, but I had shorter hair then.
Okay.
And after a couple of months of working there, they told me I had to cut my hair. And I'm like, why? They said, well, company policy, which was not explained to me prior to the fact, and they had no problems for the first 2 months working there, okay? That men are not allowed to have hair that goes past their shoulders. I contacted attorneys saying, they're singling me out for my sex. Women are allowed to have long hair. Why can't men? They're saying, nope, because you're male, you have a penis, you're not allowed to have long hair.
Was it in the company handbook?
Yes, it was, but it was never explained to me.
Did you sign that you received that company?
No, I never got a company handbook.
Well,
they didn't even show it right, but they were like, it's the policy. If you don't cut your hair, you're fired. So I contacted this attorney for my free consultation. I told them, I contacted this attorney. He says, blah, blah, blah. They backed off because I'm sorry. To me, that is sexism. Women can have long hair, but men can't. Sorry? No, it's... Either everybody has short hair or everybody can have long hair.
And to me, if that's new and dropped on you in the way that you explained, then yeah, you were in the right. If some companies you get hired on and they give you a company handbook and you have to sign the thing that you got the company handbook,
right.
And all of that appearance stuff, Radio Shack is one. A lot of retail. They have appearance standards. And to me, if it's given to you at the day one of the job, if you have a problem with it, there's the door. But
when you and I worked at 26, there was we all came in just in t-shirts and jeans every day. No, yeah. I mean, there was really no dress code for the non-on-air people.
I was going to say for the people behind the camera. But if the anchors thought that they were going to dress that way and keep their job, no.
No, and to me, that's just professional expectation. But it has to be laid out when you get the job.
Right, but then there's this suing thing. And I know some smartass is going to point out, well, Josh, you look like, you know, Rob Zombie and Kevin Smith had a bad night together that they both want to forget. True. I'm not in the service industry, am I?
That's why you don't work for my company.
And I've also never applied at your company.
Well, it doesn't matter. I had a job line. You remember a while back, I had a job lined up for you, and I went and I said, all you got to do is cut your hair.
And I said, nope.
Cut it to shoulder length. And you said, nope, and you didn't take the job, and that's the right move.
For me, yes.
You know, but to me, you know, this whole suing over because I want to have metal all over my face and stuff like that, I don't care. That's part of look, here's part of growing up. If you want to be in high school and college and you want to express how much of a rebel you are, you want to express that dark side of yourself, or you think it's right to have tons of shitload of metal in your face, then go for it. Go right ahead. That's high school and college is the time for you to fuck up. That's you fuck up in that little...
You sort of have a social contract when you become an adult with society.
Yeah, when you get out into the real world and you have, you know, older Joe Schmo who has a different idea of what his employees should look like, whether older Joe Schmo is CEO of said corporation or whether, you know, if there is an expectation of professional appearance, then... And you try and sue, I'm telling you to go right the fuck to hell.
Like,
and grow up and be a
human. Would you buy a car from me if I worked at a car lot looking the way?
No,
exactly.
Not in a million years. Would I hire you as a lawyer? No. Would I be happy if I came in and my doctor looked like you? Not in a million fucking years.
Would you hire me to create a commercial for you? Would you hire me to create something audio for you or to edit some video for you? Probably,
yes.
Because
yes.
The appearance really doesn't make a difference in that particular industry.
Our mutual lawyer.
Yes.
Noah
Reinstein.
Amazingly well-kept guy. Brooks Brothers suit usually. You know, nicely trimmed beard, well-cut hair. Looks like a lawyer.
As he should. He's our lawyer.
If I went in the first time to meet him and he had nose piercings and cheek piercings and labret piercings and 34 things in his ears and, you know, a mohawk and looked and went, you've got a really good case. And I'm going to look at him and go, you don't.
You know, you don't have my business.
Exactly. Because guess what? There is an expectation of professional appearance. You get into the business world of the higher management, the three-letter management, meaning CEO, CTO, CEO, yeah. CIO,
The
alphabets. There is an expectation of professional appearance.
And I personally, on the weird esoteric hippie level, I wish there weren't, but there is.
Too fucking bad.
I know. I'm saying I wish there weren't, but there is. I don't want my server, when I go to Perkins, coming over looking like they just walked out of a 1977 Sex Pistols video.
Right. I also don't want them walking out with a bunch of Band-Aids looking like they got in a fight with a porcupine.
Right.
Unless they really got in a fight with a porcupine, then that's a really cool story. Sit down and talk to me for a little while.
I don't want my server to look like they come from a country we used to test nukes in.
Exactly.
That's what it boils down to.
And I realize I make a lot of enemies by... Because I've got a lot of friends that have a lot of piercings, and they just sit in the well, they wouldn't hire me because blah. And I just look at him and I'm like, no fucking shit.
They were, what did you think was going to happen? Yeah. They're going to go, welcome to the family. Yeah.
Well, this should be a world and we shouldn't have these expectations and meh, and it's discriminate. Oh, and I'm Wiccan. It must have been because I'm pagan. Shut the hell up. It's because you look like a dirty fucking hippie and they didn't want you in the OR. Okay.
Yeah. And now this next one. I have a feeling you and I, no matter what position we take, we're going to take a bunch of crap over this next one. So you can opt out if you choose.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
Press 1 for English. I'm sorry. When I'm calling a company based in America, I should not have to press 1 for English.
Okay.
That should be the default option.
Okay.
Because there are more English-speaking people in this country than there are Spanish-speaking people.
No, there's not.
I am so goddamn sick of having to say, yes, I want English. I have a friend in California that recently did not get hired at A&W. And remember, the A&W stands for American. Okay?
What's the W stand for?
I don't remember. But but I know one of their catchphrases is all American food.
I always thought it was hamburgers and woot beer.
We're not friends anymore after that comment. My God. That was both witty and infuriatingly insulting at the same time there, Scott.
Oh,
so I give you credit. And yeah. But they did not get hired at A&W because they did not also speak Spanish.
Okay.
Why flipping burgers do you have to be bilingual?
Stop right there.
You know how pissed off this gets me.
Number one, I'm going to refute one of your claims. So your claim is that there are more English speakers in the U.S. than Spanish speakers in our case. You're wrong. In our particular part of the U.S. and in the vast majority of the U.S., there are more English speakers in a given area. But you go out to California, you go down to Arizona.
Those are freak states.
You go to Texas, you go to Florida.
Those are the freak states.
You go to New York, just about anywhere up and down the East Coast.
Freak states.
Too bad. I hate to tell you this, but we as English speakers are outnumbered in the U.S. by Spanish speakers.
I still don't think I should have to press one for English. I don't think I should have to be bilingual.
It's a small margin, but we're outnumbered. English and Spanish are, whether you like it or not, are going to be the two languages that the United States speaks going into the future. That's just the way it is.
I mean,
to me, now wait a minute. To me, I look at that and I say, okay, so be it. I also look at the Dutch, and there are lots and lots of people in the Netherlands that speak three or four languages.
Yeah, for whatever reason, Europe seems to be almost multilingual.
Yeah, almost all of the people in the Netherlands speak two, English and Dutch.
Yeah, you go to Germany, everybody there speaks English as well as German.
Well, I wouldn't say everybody, but a lot of people. Okay,
the general
and the younger generations definitely learning English. Japan's the same way. Older Japan, the older ones don't speak so much English. A lot of the younger generations in Japan are learning English as well as Japanese. And to me, I've got no problem with that.
But we're in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
But look at the Netherlands. They speak four languages and they have legalized marijuana. And they're fine.
Right. Well, back when I worked at Channel 2, there was one of those small little Dairy Queens that I went to. The one over that used to be by the porno store that's not there anymore. The one that was run by the tranny. Remember that one on Main Street?
Yeah, I do. I remember that one, yes.
I went there. The clerk did not speak one word of English. And I'm like, I want a chocolate chip blizzard. Okay?
So what you're saying...
I had to keep pointing. I want that. And I'm going, this is ridiculous. Why would you hire a guy in Green Bay, Wisconsin that doesn't speak English to be your fucking clerk?
What you're saying, Josh... is you would have preferred if that clerk were bilingual.
No, I would A&W have preferred he spoke. Way. I would have preferred he spoke the dominant language. When you are working at A&W, the dominant language is going to be English. Do you remember the?
I grew up on Cedars. I grew up on Cedar Street in Green Bay.
I don't know where Cedar Street is. I don't particularly know that.
That's
street.
No problem. It's downtown. It's by Main Street.
Is that Mexican neighborhood that's always got the the Mexican music playing that I can't seem to pronounce? Lucacaracha or some shit? I'm brain farting, right? I think I'm having a stroke.
I think you're mixing up mariachi music with luchador, which is the wrestlers.
Whatever. But you know what I meant.
Within that neighborhood, Spanish is the dominant language. And I'm glad I speak what little Spanish I did, or I wouldn't have made it in that neighborhood very well. So to me, bilingualism, it's whether you like it or not, even if it upsets you, doesn't matter. It really doesn't. It's a simple fact that eventually the United States, in order to function, must become a bilingual country.
I feel if you come here from another country, you should have to speak English. There was a story.
Why? If I go to Japan and if I go to Japan, believe it or not, I know the country well enough that I'm going to learn some Japanese just because
I'll be there. You're going to pick it up.
But
but I think I could function perfectly fine not speaking a word of Japanese. If I do business in Amsterdam for any given reason, I'm going to be able to function beautifully not speaking any Dutch. If I go to Hamburg or if I go to Berlin, I'm not, you know, I'm going to be able to function just fine not knowing German. Yeah, we'll run into people that there will be a language barrier. And yes, I will obviously pick up some Dutch or German or Japanese or wherever I go. But the simple fact is, it's a global economy now. It's a global business deal. And but bilingualism
our country enables these people and tells them you don't have to learn English.
And that's part of being the democracy that we're in. That's part of the deal with it.
There was a story in Door County a couple of years ago about Hmongs. You remember the Hmongs, for those out there, they're an Asian culture.
They're from Vietnam during the Vietnam War, when, you know, the picture of Saigon of them climbing onto the helicopter, that's the Hmong people.
Right.
Then we rescued, and I'm putting that in air quotes, we rescued them from their communist country of Vietnam, and they were communist dissenters is what they were. And they got transplanted, and when you think of a hot tropical climate like Vietnam, the first place that comes to mind is Wisconsin, so they dropped them here in Green Bay.
Yeah,
and weird. We have a large Hmong community, which I love, by the way, because I adore Asian food, and oh my God.
All right, well,
so
there was the story. The woman, she's lived here since about Nam, where she was like 16 or so there. Right, so she's right. Lived in this country for 35, 40 years, whatever it was by the time this happened. Still, to that day, did not speak one word of English. Because she never needed to. They always, every time she went to social services, we will provide a translator. Every time she calls a place, we will provide a translator. I think if you come here, you fucking learn the language. If I go to Japan, I'm going to be expected to speak Japanese.
No, you're not.
I am. They are not going to make allowances and go, oh, you don't speak the language? Here, we are going to provide you a Japanese translator
at
the state's money.
Yes, they do.
No, I don't think they do.
Yeah, I've been. They most certainly do.
I don't think so. But okay, I'm not calling you a liar. I'm saying,
you know, the simple fact is multilingual abilities are going to be unbelievably important in the future if you want to remain strong, whether it's English and Spanish, English and Japanese, English and German, English and Spanish and Japanese and German and Dutch and Swahili. I don't care.
Do you remember that story about the Philly cheesesteak place a couple of years ago? The originator of the Philly cheesesteak,
no.
They put up a big sign that said, we will only accept orders in English.
Okay.
They were sued by a bunch of different, the radical groups of, you know, Spanish-speaking people and Hebrew-speaking people and whatnot for being discriminatory. How dare you make us order in Philadelphia? How dare you make us order only in English? Why can't we order in Spanish?
Now, before you fly off the handle, I'm going to come down on the side of the business on this one.
Again, me too. I'm on the business's side. Yeah. I'm saying if their employees only speak English, and it, apparently what happened was they had such a large Spanish-speaking population that did not speak a word of English and kept trying to order food in Spanish and was getting frustrated. I'm on the side of the restaurant.
And that, again, private organization, private business, if they choose to limit their customer base to English, so be it. And I get in a lot of shit, too, because a lot of people go, well, what if they say they don't want any black people in their shop?
That's always the example they go to. It's like, first of all, it's a way extreme example.
And to tell you the truth, I look at them and I'd be like, I'd still be on their side.
Legally.
I think it would be a stupid, stupid marketing move. And I think that a lot of people who believe in, you know, whatever the hell they're fighting for or against are going to stop patronizing that business. But I got no problem with it. And if a business here in Green Bay said we are only doing business in English, I'm behind them 100%. Sure, that's your choice.
Sort of a side.
But
tangent.
if a business comes and says we want all of the people that work here to be bilingual, that's their choice too.
I say that's bullshit, and that's. I cannot count that one.
You can't only pick half of this. You can't come down to a business and say, if you want to do business only in English, I'm behind you, versus a business that says we want everybody that works here to be bilingual. That they're fighting for the same thing.
I disagree. You and I will have to disagree on that one. I want to give you a quick side tangent. It's sort of on the same thing.
Sure.
That was the last one on that page. So you can okay. click off that. Do you? I don't remember if you were still working at 26 when this story happened. So it's a Green Bay story. Do you remember that transgender woman? She hadn't had the surgery yet, so she still had a penis.
Okay.
Where she was suing like three different Green Bay nightclubs because they did not have a transgender bathroom because they said because she had a penis, she could not be in the woman's room, but she did not feel comfortable going into the men's room, and that she was suing them that they should have a neutral bathroom for people of transgender. And no. I'm going, you self-important fucking cunt.
Yeah.
You know, you've still got a penis. Use a fucking urinal. Okay.
When it comes down to that,
that's why I couldn't remember if you were still around for that story or not.
I kind of remember that story. And to tell you the truth, when it comes down to stuff like that and transgender rights and things like that, I tend to fall where the government falls a lot. And that is, do you identify yourself as a man or a woman? Do you conduct your life as a man or a woman?
Well, I see apparently the nightclubs had gotten complaints because she was, I'm going to use the term she, was trying to use the woman's room. But the fact that she has a penis, it made the other women be like, why is a ostensibly a biological man using our restroom? And she said, because I'm a woman, I can't use the men. And so they were getting complaints from the other customers. Why should the business have to change everything they do at their expense, put in a transgender bathroom for what's a really small minority of people that would use a transgender bathroom?
See,
I don't think we have a big transgender community around here. I don't know.
It's not small. It's not huge. But I mean, you know, relative to the size of the town, it's bigger than you'd think it would be. But the truth is, if women are uncomfortable using the same, you know, using the restroom as a transgendered individual, then to me, I'd look and I'd be like, look, that's on them. If they have that much of a problem with it. Now, if...
But from a business perspective, the business is going to go, well, there's 9 people that are going to walk out, or we kick out the one person that's the problem. From the business perspective, you kick out the tranny.
Meh. Depends on the business.
Green Bay nightclubs. They're all about getting people in there and keeping them there. Not, you just got catted, didn't you?
Yes, I did. And ow, claws. You know, to me, that's kind of a tricky area because, you know, what if we'll say that I'm some sort of weird creeper. So I borrow
creeper?
One of, yeah, you know, let's say I'm some sort of weird creeper. So I go to the nightclubs and I borrow one of Dawn's, sorry, she's insisting she wants on my shoulder. I borrow one of Dawn's dresses and let's say I really get off on listening to women pee.
Okay, you are a weird creeper, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, exactly. So I go to the nightclub and I'm wearing Dawn's dress and I walk up to them and go, hi, I identify myself as a woman. I'm going to go use the restroom now. And I go in there and I just pleasure myself all night listening to the sounds of women pee. Well, you know, that
is creepy.
That's a creepy thing and that's a problem. And that's where things get tricky. Is because where do you draw that line of, no, this guy's just some sort of creepy pervert in a dress, or is it truly a transgendered individual who self-identifies and lives as a woman and therefore has her own deal? Or do we just say, if you have a penis, we don't care. If you have a penis, you must use the men's room.
I would
and
say,
who
I would
is
say
going
that
to,
one.
Who is going to check?
I would say when the problem comes up, that's when you go, do you have a penis? Yes. Then you're in the wrong restroom.
Okay, but what if you have a penis and breasts?
Still have a penis.
And you're afraid of getting assaulted in the men's room.
Hey, I know guys with moobs. I know guys with moobs bigger than their wives.
Yeah, and I know
so,
guys.
So I'm sorry. That argument of having breasts, I'm not giving you that one.
Okay.
That one I won't allow you.
And what I'm saying is that's a weird, tricky little thing. But again, this falls in, and I kind of would put that in with the Americans with Disabilities Act. Okay. For instance, in a town the size of Green Bay, we have a disabled population.
Any town is probably going to have.
Well, anybody's going to have some. But we have a a certain ratio of handicapped individuals. Why is it when I go to Walmart, it seems like an entire third of the parking lot is taken up by handicapped spaces?
Right. And we're going back to that Penn and Teller bullshit episode. Right.
You know, so are we going to start requiring all businesses to put in a third gender or a gender neutral restroom?
Unfortunately, the advocacy groups for transgenders say yes. Yes, you should.
And to me, I think if you self-identify yourself as a woman or as a man, because I know plenty of that have done, the transgender the other way, then
Chastity Bono.
This is I can't really say a life choice, but this is a consequence of who you are. And it's one you're going to have to live with.
It goes back to the piercings thing. You chose to live your life like this.
But the piercings chose. I believe that many transgendered, it's kind of like that choice of being gay. Guess what? It's not there. You're born that way.
See, I'll give you the gay thing. I cannot understand that with the whole, I was born a woman, so I want to lop my penis off and have a vagina made out of it. That to me, you were born a man. It makes you a man.
No. And to me, I see where transgenders can have that gender confusion, especially since it is a process that takes such a long time. I mean, it's not like you walk into a doctor's office and go, lop my penis off, and they do. You walk into a doctor's office, and then you have to see a psychiatrist, and then you have to get okayed, and then you have to go through some testing, and then you have to go through hormone treatments, and you have to go through hormone balancing. After the hormone treatments and hormone balancing, you might go in for breast augmentation. After breast augmentation, you might get the surgery where they actually change your gender. And it's a very long process, usually takes years, because there is, they don't want you going in and saying, lop off my penis, I feel like a woman today. And then the next day going, you lopped off my penis and now I feel like a man.
Give it back.
Yeah. There's a big process and it's never guaranteed that it's going to happen. And so, when you're in that in-between stage, it gets a little goofy. But do I think we need but still, it's such a small population. If you're running a club like XS, a gay club that really caters towards the LGBT community, a gender neutral bathroom might be a good idea.
But then how far are we going to take this? Are we going to say, well, midgets don't feel comfortable using an adult the big people bathroom. So do we have to make a special bathroom for midgets?
Yeah, that's.
Every group does not get to be special.
That's a slippery slope.
To me, every group does not get to be special.
So, who knows? But what I'm saying is it really depends on the business. If we're talking about, I don't even know what it's called now, that nightclub that's been like 8 different nightclubs since I lived here. Is that the one
that used to be that really awesome movie theater that fucking Packer bought?
No, not that one. It used to be Hip Cats, and I forget what it is now.
Oh, the one that had the swastikas painted on it a couple of years ago by that local neo-Nazi group.
Yeah, had the guy shot out in front of it.
Yeah.
And all of that. Yeah. And it's been like
It's fun in this area, people.
Yeah, and it's been like 8 different names. That is a straight club. I'm sorry, but I've been in there, and it is... It's men.
Is that one of the ones she was suing over? I don't remember the exact one.
It's men on the hunt who want to get laid, and the sluts who want to drink and
get a dick.
And it's very straight. Really, man, is that place? I mean, it's,
you can smell the testosterone coming out of the men's room.
Yeah. Well,
you know what I meant. Okay, gay.
You can smell the testosterone coming out of the men's room in the gay clubs too. But I mean,
there's a different smell in the gay.
It is a true meat market. Should that place cater to LGBT? Guess what? No, because I can just tell you, you're not welcome there. XS, on the other hand, you've got little bits in the club like Lesbian Corner. Guess what? It's Lesbian Corner. You've got, it is gay themed
to a
hill. There's rainbows everywhere. Well, there, and lasers.
There's rainbows. There's the bisexual flag. There are lasers. There's a big video screen. There's lesbian corner.
I was being sarcastic.
There is a straight part to that club, but it's very small. And usually filled with college guys going, I've walked into the wrong place. What am I doing here?
I'm going to finish my drink so I don't look suspicious when I run out.
Or, I can't believe my girlfriend drugged me here. Oh, my God. You know, and you know, should that place have a transgendered bathroom? Guess what? That's your clientele. If you feel comfortable adding a third one with a neutral gender type thing, go for it. I can also tell you in that club, it really doesn't matter what restroom you walk into. There are going to be men and women in there. All the same.
Right. Well, in our last couple of minutes, do you have anything else that just burns your ass? You just want to bitch about just normal little inconveniences of everyday life?
No, but I want to end on a good story.
Oh, damn it. You're going to ruin the whole tone of the show.
Yeah, I know.
God damn you. Okay, go ahead.
We've talked about customer service in the past and how it's failed.
Oh, yeah. You told me this before the show.
Yes. I went to the grocery store today, and the grocery store where I shop is they're remodeling. So
there's road construction. And there's road
construction all over and everything like that. So getting there was a pain in the ass. When I got there, getting my stuff was a pain in the ass. And I ran into this guy named John. And for those in the Green Bay area, this is a Festival Foods, kind of a Wisconsin grocery chain.
No, they have them in other states, but it's in this, you it's know, in the, this, it's this, in this
region,
area,
at yeah. least. It's a regional chain.
Yeah.
And John, not only did he help me find the products that I wanted, since they were all over the place and
due to the remodeling,
some on the floor due to the remodeling and stuff like that, but he gave me a cut in the price and apologized for the problem. And really, when I caught him and when I wanted to ask him, I could tell he was having a really, really bad day.
You told me you were too.
I was
telling me you were just totally defeated.
I was just defeated. I was tired and blah, blah, blah. And he was having a really, really bad day. And this could have gone terribly wrong. But he looked up. He took a breath. He took a moment. He smiled. He helped me. He gave me an extra break. He really went the extra mile. And that, to me, I think if you're having a bad day, the best way to fight against it is to try and make someone else's a little bit better. And he obviously shared this philosophy.
So is it kind of like the karma thing?
Yeah, kind of, sort of. But not really. Just it makes you feel better to help people. At least it does me. Maybe not you, asshat.
Hey, I've done that before. Hey, my wife and I were in line behind a kid a couple of weeks ago. Whenever Scrim came out.
Right.
Whenever Scrim first came out. And the kid was obviously, you know, using all his allowance money or whatnot to buy Scrim. I'm thinking the kid's maybe 14. And, you know, he looked kind of nerdy. And it was like $60. And he had $60. He didn't account for tax.
He didn't quite have the tax.
So he was like $2.50, $3 short after taxes. And he's like, I don't have it. My mom's out in the car and whatnot. You know what? I just threw $3 on the counter. Just, you know what? Here, kid, take it.
I've done that.
You know?
I also do it when I work with a team and I'm in charge of them because I'm supervising and stuff now. You know, we have a lot of people who are can't afford to eat, but if you're on my crew, you eat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the way it is. But this guy really went the extra mile with the customer service. And so there are good ones out there, and I just want to say to the good ones, thank you. And if you are having
it really does matter to our day.
Yes.
That you go that extra mile.
He made my day much, much better, and I think by helping me, it made him feel a little bit better too.
And it makes my day better because you're less crabby.
That's right.
So it makes things easier on me too.
That's right.
So you can find me at 1201beyond.com, 1201beyond@gmail.com. My column Sanity is Razor Thin at geekjuicemedia.com. My new column, The Shadows of Pop Culture, in Scene Magazine. And Scott, don't you do another show or some shit like that?
I do a couple more shows. I really do. You can of course find us at facebook.com/lostinthestatic.
Picky piggy.
And that's where you can reach both of us. Well, okay, me mostly.
well, just because I forget to check it all the time?
Exactly. And then you can also, you can email me smurray75@gmail.com. You can, I would, if you happen to be of the pagan persuasion or just curious about it at all, check me out at Lost in the, or blah, 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 at at facebook.com/anotherpaganpodcast or just search up Another Pagan Podcast on iTunes. And I appreciate everybody for joining us this week, and I hope we made your day a little bit better.
You're going to be able to click stop with the cat in one arm and your mic in the other?
Eventually, yes, because I'll just drop the cat. The mic's too expensive.
Yeah, the mic bruise is easier, too.
That's right. Okay, kitty in the lap, and there she goes.
She's poor walking cat. On me.
Poor cat. All right. Nonetheless, thanks a bunch for joining us. We'll see you next week.
Night.
Bye, everybody. Got anything to say in the last 5 seconds?
Fuck, I am, this infuriates me. God damn it.
Bye, everybody.